What we have here is Al-Anon Book Review, the 70th anniversary, the Forum. Hard to believe that the Forum, the magazine, first time I'm going to read it entirely. Published monthly by Al-Anon Family Group, Virginia Beach. The Forum is a copyright by Al-Anon Family Group headquarters. All right. Let's see, I was looking for the year. 70 years ago would be what? 1954? 1955? About then, the magazine started. Here's a quote from Nicole from Georgia. It says, I have learned that acceptance gives me far more peace and serenity than being judgmental ever could. And I like to add, by thanking God for my acceptance with it, as a threesome, a threefold cord could not be broken easily, thanking God. In other words, I put it in the incinerator and I get a profit out of the problem. Cheryl from Indiana said, in Al-Anon, I have learned to be a kinder, less judgmental, less angry person. I like the new me now. And then Jan W. said, serenity comes when I trade expectations for acceptance. Wow. One thing about me, I belong in the other group, two groups, and the more I involve myself in the Al-Anon group, the more I see their focus right on the solution, right on the solution. Let me give you some of the features that this cover has. It says, these are the articles. My first meeting, why I go to Al-Anon, the hug that brought me back, I only came for a book, taking the big first step, two kinds of businesses, overcoming negativity, less worrying, more believing. Departments, instant meeting, a new tool in my Al-Anon toolbox, a reminder that I am never alone, a new flavor to Savior. We're on this journey together. Why I keep coming back to Al-Anon. These are Al-Anon articles. Breathing in the present. Happy New Year. Inside Al-Anon Family Groups is, will the hand of Al-Anon be there? Our common welfare. Three legacies. The true beginning of recovery, listening for our unity, and a closer look at my house rules. Our three legacies, recovery through the steps, unity through the traditions, and service through the concept. The threefold guides of Al-Anon point the way to a normal, useful life for the individual. They also are a framework within which the group can carry on their affairs in harmony. Whew, incredible, huh? Here we go. My first meeting. This is by Ellen V. Arkansas. Thank you, Ellen. It was my first Al-Anon meeting. I was scared because I didn't know anyone. I was terrified that someone wouldn't know me. I never said a word during the whole meeting. I have only one memory from that first meeting. After a continuous barrage of invective, from the alcoholic about how his drinking was all my fault, I heard these words. You did not cause the drink. You cannot control it, and you cannot cure it. Those words became my mantra. Over and over, with each repetition, I felt lighter and lighter. I felt I was shedding the weight of my world. On the way home, I needed to stop at the grocery store by cover. Excuse for going out that evening. As I gripped the handle of the grocery cart, I had a vision of myself floating above the aisle. I felt as though that grip was the only thing keeping me from floating away. I had found hope. I knew I would be coming back to Al-Anon. By Ellen V. Arkansas. Good stuff, Ellen. All right. Here in an instant meeting on walking through my fears. Instant meeting. After reading the sharings provided, will you share your own thoughts and feelings? Rosemary from Arizona wrote in, there were many times I did not feel safe or like I belonged in my alcoholic home. I learned it was better to remain quiet than to share my thoughts and risk being left out of my family circle. I learned that the world and the people in it were not safe. Years later, I walked through the doors of Elnon. I was welcomed with open arms. I was told to keep coming back. In the beginning, I didn't know what it was to be wanted and accepted. It all felt wonderfully strange. It was suggested I get a sponsor and began working the steps. As I worked through the steps, I found that Elnon is a safe place for me to find the God of my understanding and my truth. With the help of Elnon tools, I am learning to take responsibility for my own life and happiness. Today, I am not afraid of walking through my fears because I am learning there is peace and contentment on the other side. And folks, I'm Fernando. Thanking God for the problem will get you to the other side, but we just have to go through the roughage. It cleans our arteries. It cleans us from arrogance, pride, ego, self-centeredness, ideas of why the things should be. You know, Father God wants to cleanse us out. And if we thank Him for the problem, He'll cleanse us out and put us on the other side of neutrality, where we can accept problems and let things be, and then we can accept advancements. You know, a lot of people cannot accept progress in our lives, too. We like chaos. That's the reason we want to thank God for the chaos, so we can get through it, accept it, and get it over with. All right, all right. By the way, happy Mother's Day. Today is Mother's Day. I'm doing two meetings at the park. Actually, this is my second meeting. One was at Zoom, now at the park. Now we're going to be doing a noon meeting. The point I'm making is I don't have any mothers to visit right now. Later on this afternoon, hopefully I'll go visit the sisters. But for right now, I'm taking the place of other secretaries that do have wives and can spend time with them. All right, all right. Now, Barbara A., she says, I grew up in an alcoholic home. I didn't feel that I could go to my parents for help, no matter how severe my problems were. This led me to believe that I only had myself to rely on, which made me feel afraid of the future. Through admitting my powerlessness in step one, I am learning that I can ask for help from my higher power and that I don't control other people's choices. That is a relief. I'm grateful for the Al-Anon program. In Al-Anon literature and meetings, I'm regularly reminded that I don't cause anyone else's drinking, health choices, misery, etc. I have grown so much in this program. I am much better able to think about what I need in any situation. I'm learning to trust that I have my own back. This is creating more peace and joy in my life. I get up excited now in the morning. I added that, I get up excited and joyful in the morning. Now, a new tool in my Al-Anon toolbox. This is written in by Amy from Missouri. Of Missouri, I guess. A little time for myself has already proven to be an exciting tool and impetuous for discussion at my home group. My sponsor attended the 2023 International Convention and picked me up a copy of this new daily reader. But before I had it in my hot little hands, I got to hear a passage over the phone. My home group is a phone meeting that's registered with the Global Electronics Area. Each week, we focus on a topic from conference-approved literature, either a step, tradition, concept of service, or an open topic. One of our trusted servants sends out the topics in advance so that everyone can select a favorite passage from Cal and comment on it as it relates to the topic. On the Wednesday after the convention, my sponsor and a friend were driving back to Missouri from New Mexico, and they call in to our meeting on step two. They read a passage from the new reader from page 156. We all listened intently as we heard from this book for the first time. She read the question at the end of the page. How does my understanding of a power greater than myself change my perspective? How does my understanding of a power greater than myself change my perspective? We related to what she shared, but were also able to respond to the question, which furthered the discussion. Daily use of Cal enhances my recovery, and this new book is another tool to use and learn from in our meetings. Thanks to our fellowship for another wonderful piece of literature. How does my understanding of a power greater than myself change my perspective? We related to what she said, but were also able to respond to the question, which furthered the discussion. All right, so let's ask ourselves that question. How does my understanding of a power greater than myself change my perspective? Amen. I say, for instance, I have indifference. I'm not acknowledging God in the things that I should know, and I act like I'm the which I still do. My problem is I think I'm right, or what do you call it, control freak. So in order for me to change it, I have to say, I thank you, God, I am a control freak. I thank you, God, I'm greedy, competitive, arrogant, unthoughtful. I have a little of all that. And if I thank God about that, it runs a drill through me to find out, to get out pride and ego, hurt feelings, and competitive status. Thank you, God, that God can put a greater in myself and a cleansing agent run through me so I can see myself at a better light. Amen. I got a long ways to go. You know, I just thank God for this competitive spirit. If it wasn't for this competitive spirit, I don't think I'd be reading this right here. So I always believe that anger and resentments and jealousy and all these things can be used for good if I thank God for them. God will put them in the incinerator, and I may turn them on myself so I can be a better version of myself, you know, with, right? They're probably there to turn around self, like righteous indignation. I'm better than that. I could have took care of myself better. You know, I could have gone to sleep better, could have thought about it better, could write down my goals. Work on self is the biggest room in the house. Improvement. All right, let's moving on. I'm going to jump to a page here that caught my attention. It's called No Longer Feathering the Nest, and sent in by a guy, Mike S. from Florida. Thank you, Mike. You know, the wife and I, there's a story in the church place that this one lady was in. She was traveling somewhere, and she got cornered by some thugs that wanted to take her belongings. And she couldn't remember her prayer. And all she said, she kept yelling, "Feathers, feathers." The prayer was, "Lord, you put your angels around me to take care of me, you know, with their wings." And in her fear, all she can do is scream, "Feathers." Then that was enough. You know, help came, and the guys left, and the feathers took care of her. Prayer, it works. Amen. It's amazing. Either she can be praying, calling for people, or she can be calling on God, huh? And she called on God. So here's a story by Mike S. from Florida called No Longer Feathering the Nest. When a mother eagle builds her nest, her foundation materials are large branches and sharp thorns. Then she lines it with layers of feathers, fur, and moss to make it comfortable and safe for her eggs and subsequently eaglets. Over time, as they grow, she starts to remove the soft lining, exposing them to the sharp thorns. The nest becomes uncomfortable to the point where the eaglets have had enough and are ready to leave and fly on their own. The mother eagle instinctively knows that the longer the nest remains comfortable, the longer the eaglets will stay and not go out on their own. In Elon, I learned that the more I did to protect my loved one and attempt to fix situations, the more comfortable I made the nest. Ultimately, because of my enabling, I was making matters worse in the long run. I was not allowing my loved one the dignity to find his own recovery. At the same time, I found a certain level of comfort for myself by attempting to protect and control. Needless to say, this comfort gave me a false sense of reality. Through my own recovery over time, I gained awareness of many things. I understood that I did not cause, could not control, and could not cure the disease of alcoholism. I could, however, contribute to it through my enabling out of love and fear. I grew to understand that importance of step one, that I am powerless over the disease of alcoholism, as well as over people, places, things, and situations. Once I got out of my loved one's way, I was able to focus more on myself and less on them, allowing them to take responsibility for themselves when they were willing and able. Just like the mother eagle, I grew to understand that my loved ones had to move forward on their own, and I became willing to detach with love. Amen. Detach with love is detaching with wisdom. All right. Here's one sent in by Nikki L. And it says, a reminder that I am never alone. I am a very, very grateful for our Elna literature. At times it has literature, excuse me, it has literally been a lifesaver, especially when I wasn't able to get to a meeting or our newest book, A Little Time for Myself, is absolutely fantastic. Reading these passages that our fellow members have written based on their experience, strength, and hope helped me so much and reminds me that I am never alone. I love to start my morning off reading these pages of the day. By applying what I read, I can go through my day in a more productive fashion. On days when I'm not feeling quite so positive or when I'm feeling a bit unsure of myself, I can turn to the back of the book, look up what is bothering me, and read the pages that apply. Sometimes I will write about how I am feeling regarding a passage that has spoken to me. I am often able to hear my higher power through other members' writings. I thank my higher power for the Al-Anon Fellowship and everything it has given me and so many others. By Nikki. Amen. And then another story by Anonymous. A new flavor to savor. I bought the new daily reader, A Little Time for Myself, at the International Convention in Albuquerque, New Mexico. While I find each of Elon's other three daily readers have wisdom for anyone who believes they've been affected by someone's drinking, they each have a certain flavor. I feel the flavor of one day at a time in Elon is for spouses of alcoholics, while the flavor of hope for today is for those who grew up in an alcoholic home, and the flavor of courage to change is generally for anyone. Grandparent, parent, sibling, coin, cousin, adult child, who has been affected by someone's drinking. I was excited to find out what flavor A Little Time for Myself would offer. After spending a few weeks with it, I've decided its flavor is belonging. The pages offer the same wonderful wisdom found in our steps, tradition, concept of service, slogan, and more, through the perspective of a diverse group of members. Everyone who believes they've been affected by the disease of alcoholism belongs. We don't ask or expect anyone to qualify themselves at meetings. A Little Time for Myself contains sharing that highlight our commonalities, not our differences. As I read it and reflect on the question at the bottom of each page, I feel a sense of belonging to a fellowship of equals who understand what the effects of someone's drinking feel like. I am very grateful for a new daily reader that continues to expand my recovery. Thank you, everyone. That'll be enough for right now. We'll continue. We got more stories to read on this one. Okie doke. And let's go ahead and pray out with the third step prayer, please. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me the strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Keep coming back, family. It works, and it's working.
Boy, I know I wasn't, when everybody came and discussed that maybe I had an issue when I was drinking, you know, I didn't have an issue drinking. They had the issue with me drinking. So, you know, it was, I didn't see all the things that they were seeing. And even when they came to me, I took it as hostile, you know, because I didn't drink all the time. It was only when I did drink, you know, wasn't a daily drinker, but when I picked up a drink, I couldn't. I didn't understand. The only alcoholic I knew was the alcoholic that had that drink in the, you know, the little brown bag and had to have one when they woke up and when they went to bed. That was an alcoholic to me. That's the alcoholic I was raised with. You know, my dad was that. So I knew, I was very familiar with what an alcoholic was, and I knew I wasn't one because I didn't do that, you know, and I didn't drink beer, so I knew I wasn't going to get drunk. I drank vodka. So how could you get drunk on vodka, right? Mm-hmm. So having somebody come to me and tell me, you know, I didn't take it as they were being loving toward me. I took it as they were being mean to me. You know, I didn't take it as they were trying to help me. So, I mean, I could totally relate, you know, in the reverse effect here, what they're talking about. But when I first, you know, June 3rd, when I first came to a park meeting is when I got a DUI and I had to do so many of the signatures on the card. The seed was planted, like they talk in here, you know, the seed was planted and I started listening little by little. I wouldn't take it all in because I knew I wasn't going to stay. You know, and the reason I came to the park was to hide, because if I would have went to other meetings, what if I ran into somebody I knew? Duh. Because they were an alcoholic too, you know, that's why they were there. But, so I even went through the phase of embarrassment. Like, to go out of my way, I would go to Ballin Park to some meetings too, you know, because nobody would know me there. And it was just hard for me at the beginning. You know, December 16th is when it finally took. And I just, this last December, I just got 8 years, you know, but it took me 6 months of, you know, meetings after meetings after meetings and having my family support me for it to take and me to understand that it's when the drink enters me. It's not how often, it's not when I do it. It's not when, you know, how many you have. It's what, it changes me when it enters me. And I like to drive. I don't like to leave my car behind, you know. It bugged me to leave my car behind. So I got 2 DUIs in less than 6 months. You know, and both times I was just in the wrong place. How dumb is that? I was just in the wrong place, you know. I mean, so, and I got them in my 50s. So, you know, the drink was affecting me different than it did when I was younger. And I didn't understand, like, why. Like, how come I could drink those 3 cocktails when I was 20, 30, 40? And not black out. But now in my 50s, I'm blacking out. So I'm here with you guys today. I'm sharing what happened to me and how hostile I was at the beginning of this when my family approached me, my friends approached me. And thank God they didn't give up on me, you know, because I probably wouldn't have continued this program. And I wouldn't see any of it if it wasn't for them opening my eyes and saying, don't you remember this? Well, thank God the phones. But, you know, my granddaughter, of course, took the liberty of recording me one time when I was in one of my drunken blackouts. So she played that to me a couple times. But I thank God, you know, God was watching over me and he got me here to the parks, you know. And I'm still here. I'm trying to share my story to help another alcoholic. Do I have a desire to drink once in a while? Yes, I do. So I need to continue the program. I need to continue the tools that's been given me and come and share and tell on myself for that reason alone. So thank you for letting me share.
I think we're sisters from another mister. That's pretty much my story too. And I'm you know, fairly new to this. So I got my DUI in February, and the daily reflections actually really hit me today because I beat myself up, you know, about the past, and I just have to let it go. It is what it is. I have to do the consequences and just move forward. But it's tough, you know, because I was always a rule follower. I never got in trouble, you know, any of that kind of stuff. I don't drink every day. I had one night after a memorial that I screwed up. But I can't, like, let it go, you know. I just, and especially when it's meetings and court and all this, you know, you try to, you know, move forward, and then you have to go to court, and then you move backwards, you know. And so my anxiety is through the roof. I never had anxiety before in my whole life. I'm kind of very chill, but I am experiencing anxiety attacks, and so it's been rough. Like, these last couple months, I don't even know who I am anymore, you know, because I'm just constantly in my head beating myself up and just, like, wanting to change the past, but I can't, and I gotta just figure it out and move forward. And you guys have been very helpful, and this gnat is gonna die. So thank you all for just, you know, bearing with me and letting me just be here and kind of soak it all in and just work at my own pace. But so thank you for being very welcoming and generous, and grateful for you guys.
Thank you, Don.
I'm just happy to be here. The older I get, the more I realize I'm a mental dipshit upstairs. I was doing something yesterday or the day before. Saying everybody that I'm hanging around with right now, the 10th step thing, and I'm stupid. I've goofed off so much that it's hard to even decipher goofing off, being serious, and all of that. You know, I said something to my kid the other day. I said I hate you or something like that, but it was in a goofing off thing, but he walked away from it dumbass, you know. And my wife was like, you go say sorry now, you do a 10 step right now. And I'm thinking that that was just making me even more like, screw that, you know. And so anxiety thing, like you talked about, I've only experienced anxiety being sober. You know, this is really
my world.
The doctor put me on some Ativan stuff. And yeah. I'm not a big pill person. I never was a pill person even in the day. But so Ativan, it kind of makes me calm down, chill, go to sleep. But then he prescribed me yesterday or the other day something that was a little bit better for the body or whatever. I don't even know the name of it. But so the wife just walked in the house with that prescription, and she put it on the counter. And I don't take prescription. I'm even mad that she has made this Sunday through Saturday pill fucking holder thing, and I got to do all the different pills. It wasn't like that. When I went to the hospital 5 years ago, I didn't take one pill. Maybe an aspirin, maybe a multivitamin, but I didn't take no pills. And now I'm on this, you know. Anyways, so I took this pill and I went into the kid's room. He's back from Sacramento College. And I went into his room and I had the pill, and he knew I was going to take this anxiety pill to you know, chill me out again. And the wife was down the hall, and they're both watching me. So I was like, F you, you little cocksucker, I hate you. And then I put the pill in my mouth and I said, I love you, kid, I'm sorry, you know. So it was like, such my emotions and my stupid mind is so And it's just us. It's what we've done to screw up where we should have been back in the day, where we should be now. And
exactly.
I mean, if it wasn't for the higher power, if it wasn't for this park meeting, really, because I do miss a lot of meetings, but I really look forward. When I wake up in the morning and I see my wife, that sounds bad, but when I wake up in the morning and my wife wakes up, I know looking at her, I need to give her a good day. And especially on Sundays, because that's like the only day we really have together. I think of you too, Chris. You know, I think, man, you know, he's gonna lead another good meeting. I'm gonna go to this park thing. I'm gonna have a great day. So this book talks, or that chapter talks about all kinds of different alcoholics there. At the end of the day, I'm not gonna categorize myself into one of them. I'm just gonna say, I need AA. This park meeting, Fernando, I need you and everybody here to make my day start off. And then, of course, I'm going to hop in the car and say a prayer because before I get home, unfortunately, I did something this morning that was all about me. I ran to freaking Walmart and I bought $60 worth of Hot Wheels, and I know freaking I'm going to go home.
For Mother's Day?
I told the cashier, because they're just two Hot Wheels, but... the cashier goes, she said something. I go, well, yeah, for when I get home, she's going to say, what the hell? I go, be one's for you, you know? So, but, stupid ass, huh?
I love it.
Anyways,
I love it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Good shit.
Amen. Yeah, a couple of things. Thank you. The best coffee in all the world. And we have the best literature.
Great meeting.
Amen. And thank you. You're a product of the park here. See, all I can do is bring the books and here, tell me what it says. You know, and people do an excellent job of expressing, you know, what the path was, what's it today like, and what the future can be. The camaraderie and the peace and the fruit on the tree. That's what I saw, fruit on the tree when I first came in here. I said, wow, how are these guys holding it together? But thanks to God that this reminds me of this is Al-Anon's monthly magazine, The Forum. And they have, this is where this chapter, I believe it was this chapter that started it all. There's more has to be done for the family. And look at the family. This is, we have elsewhere remarked how much better life is when lived on a spiritual plane. Thank you, God, for your problems. That's the way I do it. If God can solve the age-old riddle of alcoholism, He can solve your problems too. Okay? By thanking God for the problems. Mm-hmm. We wise found that likewise. Oh, this is actually, I went on reading. Like everyone else, we were afflicted with, here goes, pride, self-pity, vanity, and all things which go to make up the self-centered person. So when you get the wife trying to tell the guy, he goes, well, you the grocery bill, you, I see, there's not a balance. Now I understand why you have to, talk about so much tact there. I'm thinking, wife is just going to piss on this and throw it out the door when she's trying to talk to her husband. Didn't you think that? You know, it's too, but what he's trying to do is just be as tactful as you can, because they have self-pity, vanity, pride, and all these things that piss us off, you know. But now I'm going to ask you, shift questions. There's a, I'd like to ask you to read the story on page 301 on your book, Physical Heal, and on page 302 on the middle paragraph, it says, what number is this husband? Okay, describe 1, 2, 3, 4. He goes, this was a physician. He says, on the last day I was drinking, I went to see a friend who had a good deal of trouble with alcohol and whose wife had left him a number of times. He had come back, however, and he was on this program. In my stupid way, I went to see him with the idea in the back of my mind that I would investigate Alcoholics Anonymous from a medical standpoint. Deep in my heart was the feeling that maybe I could get some help there. This friend gave me a pamphlet, and I took it home and had my wife read it to me. There were two sentences in there that struck me. One said, don't feel that you are a martyr because you stopped drinking. And this hit me between the eyes. The second one said, don't feel that you stopped drinking for anyone other than yourself. And this hit me between the eyes. After my wife had read this to me, I said to her, as I had said many times in desperation, I have to do something. She's a good-natured soul and said, I wouldn't worry about it. Probably something will happen. And then when we went up the side of the hill, we were having a little barbecue area to make the fire for the barbecue. And on the way up, I thought to myself, I'll go back down to the kitchen and refill this drink. And just then, something did happen. A thought came to me. This is the last one. I was well into the second fifth by this time. And as that thought came to me, it was as though someone had reached down and taken a heavy overcoat off my shoulders, for that was the last one. So what type of husband was that? Probably a number four, huh? He was reasonable and stuff. I was the one where there was no hope. They talk about those ones. Now, those guys with no hope, when you're in this, you got to be careful. You don't keep trying to revive an old horse, because it gave me suicide thoughts. I was living one. I was determined to use all the faith, all the hope, and kept. And all of a sudden, what happens to the wife when she's trying to get the husband like that? She'll get suicide thoughts. I know one gal that she left the husband, the kids, and all five, and then she took off part of it. It was easier instead of taking her life, right? So sometimes this is easier when they go drinking than take their lives. So we never know. That's why thanking God for the situation. Something will happen. I'm Fernando Alcala. Thank you.
Sorry, guys. I had to go.
Hey, happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
I've just been realizing, like, how it doesn't just affect myself as the drinker, right? But my family and everybody around me. And no one really pushed me to come here besides, of course. Maybe that was God's way of getting through to me and opened me up to a bigger thing, right? And so it's been a little bit of time, but it's been really good. And I do look forward to coming to this meeting. I love this setting. I think everybody's really, really great for being honest and doing their part. So thank you guys for that. And I learned a lot from your stories and just see, you know, where I can get to if I keep coming. And that's inspired because I do want a better life, right? And so, not just for myself, but for my family, my wife, and it's been really cool just spending time with people. And it, like when I started this, it was kind of in my head, right? Like, man, I'm gonna have to, like, you know, how am I gonna hang out with people or whatever, socialize? But I've been doing it, you know. I got to hang out with my brother, my mom, and all my family yesterday, and nobody gave me a hard time or tried to push anything on me, and they accepted it. And it was like nothing, you know. I made a bigger deal out of it in my head than it really was, and that was really cool, just to be able to spend time and enjoy my nephews and stuff like that, and be there, really be there, right? Because so much of my time, I was never really present, you know. I was just getting wasted. So I'm looking forward to keeping it going. Thanks for putting this together, man. I'll pass right.